from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy there, Tara.
Okay. So, do you hear this? Peter Ducey at Fox News actually asking Kamala Harris when she would do an interview, and Her Highness says she's working up to it.
Right. Okay.
She's working up to it. She get to it someday.
While her opponent is pretty much doing it every day.
Right. I got a serious question. How are you going to run the country if you can't handle an interview with friendly media?
Well, she's working up to it, Tara. I'm sure that our opponents around the world will, you know, give her a little honeymoon period where they'll, you know, limit their, opportunities to do something bad.
I mean, you're going to have to stand there with world leaders who are going to push you like Putin.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go to the G7. You're going to have to go to places where you have to be fast on your feet. Fast enough to take questions from a friendly audience at CNN that just wants to help you.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about like a Fox News interview. By the way, Trump has done the equivalent of that for the last 2 weeks. He's gone and taken questions once 2 hours, which was, I really thought he should have kept it to half an hour. I mean, if you can't, you know, It's fraught with danger to keep going with them. Because these reporters, every one of those reporters when Trump does this, They have spent days thinking about how can I gig him to end his career and make mine. Every one of those reporters is coming in there with that mentality. I'm going to ask this to see if I get famous. I'm going to ask this to see if I get hits. I'm going to ask this to see if I could twist it to destroy him. And he takes every one of those questions. She won't even go into CNN where they will hold her hand and pat her head. Yeah, what a good little girl. You're doing great. No, just go out there, rah-rah. Yeah, joy. It's a serious question that would be asked about Donald Trump.
Yep.
How on earth, if you can't handle Dana Bash at CNN, who wants nothing more than to help you be president, how will you handle Putin? How will you handle North Korea?
Yeah.
How will you handle the Middle East?
Yeah. How are you going to deal with the Ayatollah?
With Iran? I don't know. I mean, that's a legitimate question, which if Trump was doing this, was refusing to do the interviews, they would say, and she's now been 33 days without taking an interview. 33 days since she announced for president. And they are so terrified. Someone will ask about their record that Tim Walz is now not doing interviews. I mean, do you realize this guy wants to be vice president? We've never heard from him in an interview since she chose him.
No.
He's off limits. This is unprecedented in modern American history. There is no precedent for it. Wait, you chose this guy as your vice president, but you're not going to let him talk to us? Nope. We'll put out another scripted phone call where we do 5 takes and then he gives her a bag of Doritos at the end.
that was the most ridiculous photo op I've seen in quite a while.
It was so bad because the two sides of her campaign didn't communicate. And so in one of these supposed to be authentic, look, Kamala's one of us. Here she goes to the sheets to get herself a bag of Doritos. And in one, Doug is handing them to her. And the other one, Tim Walz is handing them to her, meaning it's clear they did 2 takes. It's fake.
Sounds like there's some divisions within the campaign, too.
She got torn up online for that. But when you're, Lee, one of the big stories this week not big stories, but telling stories that if this had been Trump, oh my gosh, the traction it would have gotten.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one of the big ones this week was as she's, you know, she's in Pennsylvania, and I have this video of this, is still up on my Twitter feed. You'll have to go down a little bit, but it's up. And people are just sitting there, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They make a last minute decision. Hey, we're going to pick that restaurant. They're sitting there at four. They're watching a football game, and they're all told to leave in the middle of their meal from what is essentially a high-end sports bar, kicked out. The Kamala Harris campaign rolls in white vans. Actors get out, who then pretend to be customers so she can go in and greet them and they can act like they love her.
Yeah.
She's not only is she afraid to sit down with Dana Bash and CNN, and even, I mean, think about it. You're not going to sit down with Rachel Maddow at MSNBC. Are you kidding me? She'll probably lick your shoes.
Oh, there's an image I didn't need, but anyway.
Yeah, she's so, if they're so afraid of her interacting with a real person who might ask a question, they had to bring in actors. They had to kick out normal Americans in the middle of their dinner and ball game to replace them in the restaurant with actors to protect her from real people, real questions, real comments, having to react to something on your feet. Maybe there's one person there who doesn't like you, but you have to deal with it. Let me tell you what, the Ayatollah does not like you.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Actually, he might, because they have done a lot to.
Well, you know, there is that. Yeah. In fact, the Biden-Harris duo has done a lot to promote the Iranian Ayatollah there.
Now, if you remove right from left to this, and these world leaders are watching her, they're seeing a level of weakness here that makes Joe Biden look strong. Joe is coddled like a little child, too. But he at least goes and does these interviews, not on Fox News, mind you. You're never going to see that. But like from the mainstream media, and sometimes ever so often they ask him a hard question. She can't even do that. Do you know what they're concluding in the world's capitals? Our enemies? And let's face it, our friends, because you know what? Our friends aren't our enemies, but they're hardcore competitors. Economically,
yeah.
Europe is.
Yeah.
India is. They're allies, but very much our competitors. They want to take market share from us. It's what the whole Indian economy is based on. Indonesia is increasingly becoming that way.
Since you brought up the foreign...
She looks so weak.
Since you brought up the foreign conflict thing, I find it strange that we have all kinds of protests about Israel's involvement in Gaza, but there were no protests about the U.S. involvement in Ukraine with Russia. If you were opposed to conflict from a human rights standpoint, and you're opposed to Israel's action in Gaza, then why is there no protest about our involvement in the Ukraine-Russia war?
Well, let's look at who's funding the protest.
Well, I know. That's
It's Democrat yeah. donors in Iran. So you get the protest you pay for.
Exactly. You get the protest you pay for.
Well, you do, because people got to fly in. I mean, even if you drive in, I mean, have you seen inflation, hotel rooms,
no, yeah.
food, food on the road? Oh, my gosh. So you need deep dollars donors to pay for that.
Yeah,
when Politico says Joe Biden's donors are paying for that, who's paying for that? I don't know, but I bet they're profiting from it somewhere. You look at our military industrial complex. I talk about this all the time in the Battleground podcast. It's a whole generation of contractors has grown up around the idea that, yeah. We really want a war. Because why? Well, we do supply lines.
I guess now you can add the cricket farmers to that, since that's the favorite Palestinian protest now is to place crickets on food or something or other. And
here's the other thing. By the way, they came back and said crickets. You know why? Because Jewish people are online going, no, they weren't dumped. There were crickets in the mix, yes. But if you actually go and zoom in on the video and look at what they dumped on those tables at the hotel to DNC, near the DNC. No, it was worms, cockroaches, maggots, and yes, some crickets. Cockroaches and maggots are anti-Semitic tropes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was anti-Semitic. The protest was incredibly anti-Semitic. The media first reported it as maggots, so did the FBI, because that's what they did. And that is an anti-Jewish trope that goes back centuries. completely anti-Semitic. And then they decided, well, these are good liberal protesters. They're Democrats, all of them. So we'll just focus on the crickets that were in the mix. No, that's why they chose those insects. It's a play off the Jewish massacre of Worm. You can look it up. It's to mock Jews, not specifically Kamala or somebody because they don't like their stance on a war. It's anti-Jewish and anti-Semitic. And the media gave them a pass.
Yeah, of course.
Gave them a pass. Didn't point it out and then covered it up. I watched the news shift in the first tranche of that, which, by the way, that was a top 10 in the country story too this week. The FBI investigating the maggots. And then within 24 hours, it had been changed to crickets. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. So I got to zoom in, see what they put. And crickets, yes, were there, but it was mainly worms, maggots, and cockroaches. Yeah, so they can't even call out the anti-Semitism of these protesters, who, by the way, as you saw all week, a squad was knee deep with these people.
Yeah.
Outside, you know, giving speeches, egging them on. And these are the same groups behind that protest. By the way, the other person they did it to was Netanyahu. Why? They wanted to mock him for being a Jew.
Of course, yes.
This is just a really terrifying level of anti-Semitism here. And the media is caught up in it. They're like, well, what do we do? I don't know. We'll just change the story. So, all right.
And then they point out that Trump referred to Shapiro as the Jewish governor of Pennsylvania.
They excluded him from running with her because he's Jewish.
I know. Exactly. But it is Trump who, because he mentioned the fact that he's Jewish, then that means he's anti-Semitic.
Right, because he told the truth about what the Democrats are doing to Jews, so that makes you anti-Semitic by just speaking it. Never mind, they're actually doing it.
Right. If we just could have some honest journalism in this country.
I know, it'll never happen.
I mean, I don't expect politicians to be honest and accurate, but I do expect the mainstream media to at least make an effort to do honest, objective journalism. And it's disappeared from this country. It's absolutely disappeared.
You know what it is actually that grates me about it? I was thinking about this. As I said, somebody sent me a text saying, you're really biased. Well, yeah, this is a conservative talk show.
Yeah.
And you listen to this station all day long. We tell you who we are. We tell you our angle. We are conservatives. This is a conservative talk station. That's why you get conservative talk here. Like, Lee, you've never heard me pick on the Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, Salon.com.
Why? Daily Beast.
Daily Beast, because they're like, hey, we're liberal.
Yeah.
And this is what we think. Okay, fine. We may laugh at you because your ideas are crazy.
Right.
But I had no problem with you because it's truth in advertising. What is wrong and immoral here is that CNN pretends that they're real journalists.
Yeah.
When they're left-wing hacks, just like at Huffington Post. That's the deception.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Kamala Harris remaking herself in a way I have never seen another candidate do. Just flat out gaslighting the American people at a level we've never seen before. This is a woman who will not take an unscripted question. And if I were her, like I said earlier, I thought she'd just avoid the border as a topic. She just wouldn't mention it, gloss over it. No, she did the opposite. Pretending she's been out there the whole time, tough on the border.
I fought against the cartels who traffic in guns and drugs and human beings, who threaten the security of our border and the safety of our communities.
Folks, this was only a week and a half ago.
But yesterday we learned for the very first time that 99 illegal immigrants on that terror watch list were released into the country. What possible explanation from the Department of Homeland Security could there be for releasing these people into our country?
Can we at least draw the line on terrorists, folks who are on a watch list, who want to help to destroy our country internally, possibly through terrorist attacks or other things? Is it at least possible we can get Democrats and those who believe open borders seem to be a good thing to at least agree that that's not a good thing? I don't know. This is very concerning, and especially somebody who's dealt.
Unbelievable. Taking terrorists in. And she says that to the country. She says that to the country. Folks, I was surprised. This actually made the top 10 earlier. No, it wasn't this week. It was last week. The Peruvian gang member. No, not member, leader. Remember him? 23 murders. Gianfranco Torres Navarro, leader of, this is hilarious, Los Killers. See, even I can translate that to English. Los Killers. Here? No. In Peru. Was arrested by ICE. This is Bill Malusian. August 15. Okay. August 15. Arrested by ICE in Endicott, New York. 145 miles northwest of New York City. He showed up, was caught by the Border Patrol on May 16th near Roma, Texas, in the Rio Grande Valley. He's an illegal immigrant, but was released into the U.S. anyway, despite being wanted by Interpol and by the Peruvian government for 23 murders. We gave him a notice to appear. I wonder if he got the free cell phone. It took almost 2 months before federal authorities learned he was wanted in Peru for nearly 24 murders. 2 months. So it's not like he snuck in, our border's not secure. He turned himself in, knowing he was wanted. This keeps happening. Terrorists, people on terror watch lists, people affiliated with terror organizations, murderers, gang leaders, they turn themselves into Joe and Kamala. It's like they know. It's like, these people, they don't care. Look, this is such a joke. I'll turn myself in. Think about this. We live in an era when internationally wanted murderers, gang leaders, and terrorists turn themselves into the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, it'd be funny if it was another country. They don't try to sneak by, which they could do. They turn themselves in. Why? They want to ID documents. They could function in America, and they know that Joe and Kamala will provide. Took almost 2 months before federal authorities learned he was wanted in Peru for nearly 24 murders. Again, what did she say last night?
Because I believe everyone has a right to safety, to dignity, and to justice.
Safety. Yeah. And you were tough on the border?
I fought against the cartels who traffic in guns and drugs and human beings, who threaten the security of our border and the safety of our communities.
No, you gave them a free Obama phone and a copy of your biography. They did. They were giving out bags, swag bags, that included a copy of her biography. It was a couple years ago. I don't know if they're still doing it. Tucker Carlson reported it. And they let him go. They let him go. And folks, the 99 terrorists, that's not all of them. I mean, that was only through 2023. God knows how many more are out there. You know, she said that on the same day that the FBI said, we now face the gravest threat environment we have ever faced, even worse than before 9/11. And even the Associated Press reported, well, it's because of the border. And she's saying, oh, no, I closed the border. No, no, not me. I did it. Listen to this.
After decades in law enforcement, I know the importance of safety and security, especially at our border.
As Lee pointed out earlier, decades in law enforcement? What are you talking about? Well, she wasn't a prosecutor for decades. She wasn't in law enforcement ever. And he was saying this, and I agree, I don't consider law enforcement to be a prosecutor. I consider you, you know, be a police officer, deputy, some decades in law enforcement. You know what she knew? She knew low information voters, LOFOs, were tuning in. And she knows they might have heard some bad things about the Biden administration and national security, particularly the border. She knows that. So she was trying to look normal. Look at me. And this is the same thing Elizabeth Warren was saying. This was the theme last night. She will keep you safe. She was a prosecutor. She's a tough cop, even though she was never a cop. She wanted to look normal. Look, I'm a prosecutor. I mean, how, you know, prosecution, how could I possibly not be normal? How could I possibly believe crazy things? Well, I'll tell you. Again, UK Daily Mail. Kamala Harris's dream of stopping cops responding to 9/11 calls resurfaces, and her worrying argument for why the U.S. doesn't need a law enforcement response. They go on to dictate how she wanted to disband police departments, have social workers respond to 9/11 calls, and demilitarize police, i.e. no gun, no badge, no handcuffs. And now she's, oh, me, look at me, I'm all law enforcement.
After decades in law enforcement, I know the importance.
She did not spend decades in law enforcement. What a crock. She's as bad as Tim Walz. What's she going to tell us next? She carried a weapon of war into the war zone? I have so many great memories from my childhood. I had a great childhood. I was lucky. I was sheltered, protected, and loved. Not everybody is. I have great memories of Girl Scouts, my brother going to Boy Scouts, and I love to read. So I used to love book fairs. I don't know about you. You might have loved them just because you got to get out of class and they didn't have class that day. And usually mom would send you with a few bucks for a book, maybe more than a few bucks if you were lucky. And then the teacher would let you bring the books back to the classroom. They always had great snacks too. The school I went, I don't know if they did this where you were. And when you had the book fair, or the book drive, or whatever they'd call it. Usually it's called the book fair. And they'd have this huge selection of books just for kids. They were almost all good. And this was before the internet, so you might not have even realized many of them were out there. I discovered beloved authors that I then went on to, you know, order more of their books, and I got them for Christmas. I loved the book fair. Everybody did. Even if they didn't like to read, like I said, because you got to get out of class, you got great snacks. And usually the teachers would let you sit around the rest of the afternoon, read whatever books you bought. And yeah. And they'd have other things besides books too. I mean, they'd be education oriented, but usually pretty good stuff. Is there anything sacred that the left won't destroy? Anything that's just part of childhood? Not that I can see. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. The NFL, American institutions. Everything must be about the left, first and foremost. And now, Greenville County Schools has said the district will not be able to host in-person book fairs this year, but they hope to bring them back in the future. Why? Because the South Carolina Board of Education has put out new requirements for how instructional materials, books are to be selected. And so if those books are brought into a school, which is where book fairs traditionally held, and they, for instance, give middle schoolers vivid descriptions of butt plugs and fellatio, then that's a problem. And since these publishers are all now publishing this smut, which we used to call porn, and you used to have to go to a special dirty store to buy it. You know, one of those where you'd park around the back. We have the internet for that now. They want to get it in your child's hands. So to comply with the state, South Carolina State Board of Education Regulation 43-170, for how instructional materials provided to schools are made available to students are selected, they got to figure out how to comply with it. Why? Because all of these big publishers and Scholastic, which usually puts these fairs on, but they're not the only ones, have gone woke. So unlike in my day, you could go and find like a really cool updated Nancy Drew novel. You could go discover new authors. Today, you might discover how to use a butt plug. For real. For real. When Ron DeSantis, you remember, visited New York, Mayor Adams, a Democrat, criticized him for getting sexually explicit books out of children's libraries, accessible to kids as young as kindergarten. Adams tweeted, "Welcome to New York City, a place where we don't ban books." Ron DeSantis tweeted back, "Which book specifically does Mayor Adams believe needs to be accessible to children? Is it the butt plug book or the one with the graphic image of anal sex?" Mayor Adams didn't answer because he can't. They'd rather just slip that to your kid and that'll be that. Why is this stuff, books like Genderqueer? Folks, New York posted this article about this book, Genderqueer. They had to blur out the photo illustrations in it. They're so graphic. They couldn't show it on their site. And it's an instruction manual for tweens. An instruction manual for tweens. Why is this happening? Well, the Library Association has gone woke, and it has put pressure on the book publishers and those who put on the book fairs. 2019 American Libraries Association conference featured workshops like, quote, creating queer inclusive elementary school library programming, unquote. And are you going to tell my parents the minors' right to privacy in the library, unquote. I actually read a section of the book Genderqueer, which is available for 6th and 7th graders. And there was a graphic description of things that you could do if you were gay or you were straight that I'm married, produce 3 children. I have some experience. You'd think at this point, I was like, I didn't know you could. I didn't think you could. Oh, my. And I'm an adult who's been a mother. But, you know, a 7th grader needs to know that. So, you know, good for Greenville County Schools. They're going to comply. What a shame that we have to call off the book fair. Just one of those things you have fond memories of in childhood because it's too pornographic and sick and they have to sort through what can be brought into the school. Because if they don't, kids might read perverted, inappropriate material. Unbelievable the times we live in. Is there nothing sacred they will not find a way to ruin? And the good news is hopefully they're going to find a way to bring these book fairs back. And, you know, when you lose out on the revenue, hopefully these publishers and the companies that put on the book fairs will clean them up so that they can come back in and make money. But you never know with the woke. You never know. Money is making money. Capitalism is now not the number one goal. At the RNC, the Republican National Convention, they had food trucks. At the DNC, abortion trucks. Paid for in part by the DNC. What's the kill for the week? See this online? According to Planned Parenthood staff, the first day they did 10 free abortions. Because remember, they're giving them away for free. So that's 10 children who could have been adopted by a loving family. 10 children who could have made, you know, a difference in the world. Silenced. By Wednesday, there were 25 abortions that had been performed in the van outside the DNC convention, paid for by the Democrat Party. That's just so sad. You know, abortion, back when it was hot and hip with the Democrats, was always supposed to be rare and unfortunate. Now it's celebrated. It's like a party. Hey, we'll do an abortion. Back out. And yeah, it'll be great. It's free. Come kill your baby. Right there in the van on the street in front of the DNC. So what this means is by the end of the convention, it ended last night, so basically they're packing up now, an entire classroom, at least an entire classroom of children, will be wiped out. And they're celebrating this. This is the best thing ever. This is so great. This is so great. But then, you know, this goes back to Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood. Let's remember what Planned Parenthood is and who the Democrats were. She would visit the drawing rooms for coffee of the wives, the auxiliary, the Ku Klux Klan. Because they were interested in killing as many black babies as possible. They were the Ku Klux Klan. That's where she got her start. Margaret Sanger, who ultimately would go on to form Planned Parenthood. So here's the record of this party. Wiped out a whole classroom of kids, at least killed, in the parking lot at the DNC. They're celebrating this great. Kamala and Joe can't find 291,000 children, which their own Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General admitted this week some of them are being sex trafficked. No big deal. Can't imagine the joy all these children have experienced. Can you imagine if Donald Trump had lost 291,000 illegal immigrant children? Unbelievable week. It tells you everything you need to know. Texter writes, Tara, I remember when just saying the word but would be cause for a wide-eyed look from parents and teenagers. I know. Texter writes, promoting degeneracy is part of the communist goals meant to facilitate takeover, just like in infiltrating the churches. Goals 26 and 27. We ought to talk about it in those terms as sedition. Wow.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I have so many great memories from my childhood. I had a great childhood. I was lucky. I was sheltered, protected, and loved. Not everybody is. I have great memories of Girl Scouts, my brother going to Boy Scouts. And I love to read. So I used to love book fairs. I don't know about you. You might have loved them just because you got to get out of class and they didn't have class that day. And usually mom would send you with a few bucks for a book, maybe more than a few bucks if you were lucky. And then the teacher would let you bring the books back to the classroom. They always had great snacks too. Mom's, the school I went, I don't know if they did this where you were. And when you had the book fair or the book drive or whatever they'd call it, usually it's called the book fair. And they'd have this huge selection of books just for kids. They were almost all good. And this was before the internet. So you might not have even realized many of them were out there. I discovered beloved authors that I then went on to, you know, order more of their books, and I got them for Christmas. I loved the book fair. Everybody did. Even if they didn't like to read, like I said, because you got to get out of class, you got great snacks, and usually the teachers would let you sit around the rest of the afternoon, read whatever books you bought, and yeah. And they'd have other things besides books, too. I mean, they'd be education-oriented, but usually pretty good stuff. Is there anything sacred that the left won't destroy? Anything that's just part of childhood? Not that I can see. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, the NFL, American institutions, Everything must be about the left first and foremost. And now, Greenville County Schools has said the district will not be able to host in-person book fairs this year, but they hope to bring them back in the future. Why? Because the South Carolina Board of Education has put out new requirements for how instructional materials, books are to be selected. And so if those books are brought into a school, which is where book fairs traditionally held, and they, for instance, give middle schoolers vivid descriptions of butt plugs and fellatio, then that's a problem. And since these publishers are all now publishing this smut, which we used to call porn, and you used to have to go to a special dirty store to buy it, you know, one of those where you'd park around the back. We have the internet for that now. They want to get it in your child's hands. So to comply with the state, South Carolina State Board of Education Regulation 43-170, for how instructional materials provided to schools are made available to students are selected, they got to figure out how to comply with it. Why? Because all of these big publishers and Scholastic, which usually puts these fairs on, but they're not the only ones, have gone woke. So unlike in my day, you could go and find like a really cool, updated Nancy Drew novel. You could go discover new authors. Today, you might discover how to use a butt plug. For real. For real. When Ron DeSantis, you remember, visited New York, Mayor Adams, a Democrat, criticized him for getting sexually explicit books out of children's libraries, accessible to kids as young as kindergarten. Adams tweeted, "Welcome to New York City, a place where we don't ban books." Ron DeSantis tweeted back, "Which book specifically does Mayor Adams believe needs to be accessible to children? Is it the butt plug book or the one with the graphic image of anal sex?" Mayor Adams didn't answer because he can't. They'd rather just phew, slip that to your kid and that'll be that. Why is this stuff books like Genderqueer? Folks, New York posted this article about this book, Genderqueer. They had to blur out the photo illustrations in it. They're so graphic. They couldn't show it on their site. And it's an instruction manual for tweens. An instruction manual for tweens. Why is this happening? Well, the Library Association has gone woke, and it has put pressure on the book publishers and those who put on the book fairs. 2019 American Libraries Association conference featured workshops like, quote, creating queer inclusive elementary school library programming, unquote. And are you going to tell my parents the minor's right to privacy in the library, unquote? I actually read a section of the book Genderqueer, which is available for 6th and 7th graders. And there was a graphic description of things that you could do if you were gay or you were straight, that I'm married, produced 3 children, I have some experience. You'd think at this point, I was like, I didn't think you could, oh my. And I'm an adult who's been a mother. But, you know, a 7th grader needs to know that. So, you know, good for Greenville County Schools. They're going to comply. What a shame that we have to call off the book fair. Just one of those things you have fond memories of in childhood because it's too pornographic and sick and they have to sort through what can be brought into the school. Because if they don't, kids might read perverted, inappropriate material. Unbelievable the times we live in. Is there nothing sacred they will not find a way to ruin? And the good news is, hopefully they're going to find a way to bring these book fairs back. And, you know, when you lose out on the revenue, hopefully these publishers and the companies that put on the book fairs will clean them up. so that they can come back in and make money. But you never know with the woke. You never know. Money is making money. Capitalism is now not the number one goal. At the RNC, the Republican National Convention, they had food trucks. At the DNC, abortion trucks, paid for in part by the DNC. What's the kill for the week? See this online? According to Planned Parenthood staff, the first day they did 10 free abortions, because remember, they're giving them away for free. So that's 10 children who could have been adopted by a loving family, 10 children who could have made, you know, a difference in the world. Silenced. By Wednesday, there were 25 abortions that had been performed in the van outside the DNC convention, paid for by the Democrat Party. That's just so sad. You know, abortion back when it was hot and hip with the Democrats was always supposed to be rare and unfortunate. Now it celebrates. It's like a party. Hey, we'll do an abortion. Back out. It'll be great. It's free. Come kill your baby. Right there in the van on the street in front of the DNC. So what this means is by the end of the convention, it ended last night, so basically they're packing up now, an entire classroom, at least an entire classroom of children, will be wiped out. And they're celebrating this. This is the best thing ever. This is so great. This is so great. But then, you know, this goes back to Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood. Let's remember what Planned Parenthood is and who the Democrats were. She would visit the drawing rooms for coffee of the wives, the auxiliary, the Ku Klux Klan, because they were interested in killing as many black babies as possible. They were the Ku Klux Klan. That's where she got her start. Margaret Sanger, who ultimately would go on to form Planned Parenthood. So here's the record of this party. Wiped out a whole classroom of kids, at least killed, in the parking lot at the DNC. They're celebrating this great. Kamala and Joe can't find 291,000 children, which their own Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General admitted this week some of them are being sex trafficked. No big deal. Can't imagine the joy all these children have experienced. Can you imagine if Donald Trump had lost 291,000 illegal immigrant children? Unbelievable week. It tells you everything you need to know. Texter writes, Tara, I remember when just saying the word but would be cause for a wide-eyed look from parents and teenagers. I know. Texter writes, promoting degeneracy is part of the communist goals meant to facilitate takeover, just like in infiltrating the churches, goals 26 and 27. We ought to talk about it in those terms as sedition. Wow. At the RNC, the Republican National Convention, they had food trucks. At the DNC, abortion trucks, paid for in part by the DNC. What's the kill for the week? See this online? According to Planned Parenthood staff, the first day they did 10 free abortions, because remember, they're giving them away for free. So that's 10 children who could have been adopted by a loving family, 10 children who could have made, you know, a difference in the world. Silenced. By Wednesday, there were 25 abortions that had been performed in the van outside the DNC convention, paid for by the Democrat Party. That's just so sad. You know, abortion back when it was hot and hip with the Democrats was always supposed to be rare and unfortunate. Now it celebrates. It's like a party. Hey, we'll do an abortion. Back out. It'll be great. It's free. Come kill your baby. right there in the van on the street in front of the DNC. So what this means is by the end of the convention, it ended last night, so basically they're packing up now, an entire classroom, at least an entire classroom of children, will be wiped out. And they're celebrating this. This is the best thing ever. This is so great. This is so great. But then, you know, this goes back to Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood. Let's remember what Planned Parenthood is and who the Democrats were. She would visit the drawing rooms for coffee of the wives, the auxiliary, the Ku Klux Klan. Because they were interested in killing as many black babies as possible. They were the Ku Klux Klan. That's where she got her start. Margaret Sanger, who ultimately would go on to form Planned Parenthood. So here's the record of this party. Wiped out a whole classroom of kids, at least killed, in the parking lot at the DNC. They're celebrating this great. Kamala and Joe can't find 291,000 children, which their own Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General admitted this week some of them are being sex trafficked. No big deal. Can't imagine the joy all these children have experienced. Can you imagine if Donald Trump had lost 291,000 illegal immigrant children? Unbelievable week. It tells you everything you need to know. Texter writes, Tara, I remember when just saying the word but would be cause for a wide-eyed look from parents and teenagers. I know. Texter writes, promoting degeneracy is part of the communist goals meant to facilitate takeover, just like infiltrating the churches. Goals 26 and 27. We ought to talk about it in those terms as sedition. Wow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.